Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Lamed Zayin. We begin at the two dots on Lamed Zayin Omed Aleph that begin with the words of the Mishnah, V'lo Magbiin Trumus V'Maiso, so about six lines down from the top of the Omed. And if you remember yesterday, we had divided the Mishnah up into three parts. The Mishnah had said that certain things the rabbis said you can't do on Shabbos or Yontif because it's a shvus. The rabbis set up a rabbinical decree. Then we said there were certain things you can't do that were a Dvar Rishus, that was a permissible item that was close to being a mitzvah, and you couldn't do those either, more or less today. But the reason why you can't do them is because it's a shvus. So why isn't that included under the first category of shvus? Then there was a third category that's a dvar mitzvah. It's actually a mitzvah to do it, and yet the rabbi said, don't do it. And we'll ask again, that's going to be a shvus as well. Why the rabbi said, why aren't these all included under the category of shvus? But for now, we quote the Mishnah, which says, V'lo magbiin trumos u'maisos. You're not allowed to go take off trumos and maisos. This was included in the category of the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to take off trumos and maisos. And that, yet, nevertheless, the rabbi said, you're not allowed to take off trumos and maisos on yontif. Shmuel says, pshita, obviously you're not allowed to do this because you're misakin manim. You're fixing something, and we said that that's a rabbinical prohibition, that you're not allowed to go and do this because you're fixing it, making it from being not edible because it was tevel to now making it edible for the Kohen, the Truma, and for everybody else, the Maisos. They're all now either Truma, Maiser, or Chulin, and the appropriate people are allowed to eat all of them. So why do you need the Mishnah to tell us this? So the Gemara says, Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef tells us that Lo Nitzrucha, the reason this is listed over here, Ela Litna Le Kohen Bo Bayom. There's a Chiddush over here, which we had discussed earlier in the Masechta. Are you allowed to give the Kohen the Truma on Yontif itself? So our Mishnah is telling us that you're not allowed to, when it says Lo Magbiin Trumos U'Maisos, it means that you're not allowed to go and give it to the Kohen on Yontif itself. Now, this is not a blanket across the board ruling. But Hani Mili, when are you not allowed to do this? You're not allowed to give the Kohen the Truma or the Levi the Maiser on Yontif itself. Hani Mili, Peire de Tzvile Meyesmo. They were tevel from yesterday, and therefore you should have gone and been taking off the Trumas and Maisis, should have been Mafresh Trumas and Maisis yesterday on Erev Yontif. So therefore, it was something that could have been done before Yontif, and therefore you can't go do it on Yontif. However, Abba Pere, the Tfile Ha'idna, but something that became Tevel only today, for example, could go in Isa, a dough that you're making, so you have to take off 1/24th if it's a significant enough size dough, and give that 1/24th of the Matnas Kuna, known as Challah, to the Kohen, so you're just making the dough on Yontif. So therefore, to go in Esau, Lafrushim, in Challah, to go take off the Challah, that you are allowed to go and give to the Kohen on Yontif. Mafrishin, Yavinu La Kohen, that you can give to the Kohen, because there was no possibility of doing it before Yontif. Now, the Gemara continues and says, Vahani Mishum Rishus Ika, Mishum Shvus Leka. The question that I've been alluding to, both today, Shira, and I mentioned yesterday, we said that there are three categories in the Mishnah. There's Shvus, there's Rishus, and there's Mitzvah. But they're all the same thing. They're all also Mishum Shvus. The rabbis set up in each category a rabbinical prohibition. So why are you only calling the first one Shvus? The second one, which we called Rishus, is also Shvus. And the third one, which we called Mitzvah, is also Shvus. Bahani Mishum Rishus Ika, Mishum Shvus Leka. The second category is only Rishus. And likewise, the third category, Bahani Mishum Mitzvah Ika, that's only also as a Mitzvah, but it's not a Shvus. Mishum Shvus Leka. What exactly going on over here? So Amar Yitzchak, Yitzchak says that the style of this Mishnah is Lomi Boy Kamar. It's telling us something that we're increasing it from each one to the next one. Lomi Boy, you don't have to tell me Shvus greatest or the Osir. When the rabbi set up a straightforward Shvus on some activity, such as climbing a tree, there's absolutely no mitzvah involved in climbing a tree. And the rabbi set it up over there, that there could be an Issa de Rabbanan that the rabbi set up. But you might not have thought that that would apply to something that's a shtickle mitzvah, which would you call the rishus. El afilu shvus, the rishus nami yosu. No, they even set up their prohibitions in a situation where there's a little bit of a mitzvah. And not only that, v'lo mi boi shvus, the rishus yosu. And not only did they set it up when there's a little bit of a mitzvah, shtickle mitzvah, like judging, we said it's a shtickle of a mitzvah. However, they even set it up, el afilu shvus, the mitzvah. There's a real mitzvah we like to be mafris, trumas, and maisos. Nevertheless, nami yosu. The rabbis have the power to say, no, we're setting up a shvus over here. So there are three different types of shvusim that the Mishnah is referring to. Not that the Shvus is any different, but the three categories. The first one, again, was something that was absolutely no mitzvah involved. The second one's a little bit of a mitzvah involved. The third one's a real mitzvah involved. Nevertheless, in each case, the rabbi set up a rabbinical prohibition because of the concerns that we mentioned yesterday's shir. Let me quote the Mishnah. It said, Kol Eilu B'Yomtif Amru. All of these things they said on Yomtif you're not allowed to do. And we said as well, you're not allowed to do them on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Raminu, wait a second. Mashil and Derech Haruba b'Yomtiv Avolo b'Shabbos. How can you tell me that all of these things are prohibited both on Yomtiv and Shabbos? We said in the Mishnah, we had the Girsa, you're allowed to do this on Yontiv, Avalo B'Shabbos. Yerushalmi didn't have the Girsa, Avalo B'Shabbos. But we have the Girsa that you're allowed to go and lower the fruit that's up on your roof through the skylight, and you can do that on Yontiv, but you can't do it on Shabbos. How can you tell me that all of these things that are on Yontiv are permitted on Shabbos? Anything that's Usur on Yontiv is also Usur on Shabbos. Here you see that there's a distinction. It's not only Ein Bin Shabbos LeYontiv Ela Ochol Nefesh Bovad. Here you see that there are other things involved as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef Lokash, that's not a problem. It depends who's the author of the Mishnah. Ha Rabbi Eliezer, our Mishnah, which says that there is no difference between Yontiv and Shabbos, El Ochol Nefesh Bovad, would not allow you to lower the fruits down through the skylight. And Ha Rabbi Shua, the Mishnah, which we had yesterday, which said that you are allowed to, the beginning of the parak, Mashilin, that you're allowed to go and lower the fruits from the skylight, through the skylight, from your rooftop into your room, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. So therefore, these two Mishnayos argue with each other, and they're two different authors. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, and the previous Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua. Now, how do we know that? The Tanya. Because the Brisa says so with Farish. We had this earlier in the Masechet as well, this Brisa. Also, v'es b'noshen of l'bor, you're not letting go shech the mother animal and the baby animal on the same day. So, on Yontif, if they both fell into a bar, so they're going to be stuck in this bar all Yontif, so if you want to take one out and shech that, you're allowed to. But how do you get the other one out? So, here we have a machlokes, you know, Lezer and Rivishua. Both animals, the mother and the baby animal, fell into the pit. So Rabbi Eliezer says you can only bring one out. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ma'ales or Rishon, pick whichever one you want to take out. Al Minas L'Shochato, because you're allowed to move it. It's not Muxa because you're going to shecht it. And therefore, it's Muchon on Yontif. You can go shecht and B'Shochato. And then when you take it out, you have to shecht it. And the other one, Vasheni, that you didn't take out, either the mother or the baby animal that you left down at the bottom of the pit. Oslo Parnosa B'Mkomo, Kadesh Olyamos. You're allowed to go bring food down to it. You're allowed to go do whatever you need to do to keep the animal alive down in the pit. But you're not allowed to bring it out because it's Muxa, because you can't shecht the other one. You can only shecht one. So you pick the one that you want to shecht, that one you can take out. Let's say you pick the baby out, you shechted the baby animal, and now the mother is left in the pit inside. So you give it food down there, you bring it water down there, but you're not allowed to bring it up because it smokes it, because you're not allowed to shecht it, because you already shechted the bino. So, also, yes, but no, you can only shecht one of the two. That's Rabbi Lez's opinion. You shecht one, pick whichever one you want, and the other one, you give it parnasa, you take care of it down in the bottom of the pit, because you can't move it because it's moksa. Rabbi Shua disagrees. Rabbi Shua says you can do the following harama, you can do the following legal loophole. Rabbi Shua Omer, Ma'al u'esarishon, you can pick one. Let's say you pick the baby animal to bring out and say, oh, I'm going to shecht this one. Ma'al u'esarishon, I'm an as l'shachto, on the understanding that you're going to shecht it. However, when you bring it up, you say, no, I need more meat than that. We have, I thought this animal would be bigger. It's a small animal. Let's go bring up the mother and shecht the mother. So when you brought up the baby, al menas l'shochato originally was with the intention to shecht it, but now you changed your mind. Ain't no shochato, no problem. Because you removed it from the pit, the heter, with the understanding you're going to shecht it. Albeit, now you change your mind. Now you have the right. V'chozer umarim, you can do this harama, you can do this legal loophole, umar l'sheni, and bring up the mother. And now, you have to shecht one of them. Rotzozer shochet. Now you can pick whichever one you want to shecht. You can now change your mind again, say, no, we'll shecht the baby after all. Or no, you go and shecht the mother. So, Rabbi Yeshua clearly says, because it would be a hefsid baruba to have this animal at the bottom of the pit, it's hard to take care of it there. Either it'd be difficult for you to go hire somebody to go and take care of the animal, or just difficult, go take care of the animal down in the pit. You're taking care of one animal all by itself. So therefore, because of the Hefsa Meruba, like in the case of our Mishnah, Mashil and Peros, because of the Hefsa Meruba, if the rain comes, all those fruits would be ruined, so you're allowed to go do it. Whereas Rabbi Lezer says, sorry, even for Hefsa Meruba, we can't say that you're allowed to go and do something. So in our case, you wouldn't be allowed to have any difference between Yontif and Shabbos, even for Hefsid Meruba, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So we wanted to align yesterday's Mishnah, the beginning of the Perek, Mashil and Peros, to be Rabbi Yeshua, and our Mishnah here to be the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Amalei Abaye, Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, who suggested this Teretz, Lokasha, Hor Eliezer, Hor Yeshua, he says, Rabbi, I don't think that that's correct. Amalei Abaye, Mimai. Why do you necessarily say that these two Mishnayos have to be the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua and the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak, and that Rabbi Lezer is our Mishnah from yesterday? So he says that's not necessarily so. Dilma, maybe, Adkan lo kama Rabbi Eliezer hosom, In the Braisa that we just brought down with Rabbi Elezer, didn't allow you to do the Haram. He said you can bring up one, either the mother or the baby, and the other one you have to leave in the pit. The only reason why he said that you're not allowed to bring it up, Dilma Adkan lo kama Rabbi Elezer, Hostam, that you're not allowed to bring up both of them, LDF Shabbat Pranasa, because guess what? It's a little bit of a difficulty for you, but you can make sure that you're not going to have a Hepsid Beruba, because both of the animals will survive. The one at the bottom of the pit can be taken care of at the bottom of the pit. The one that you bring up, okay, you're going to shack, no problem. So therefore, in the situation of this brisa that we brought down, there was a choice. And therefore, Rabbi Elezer said, there's no reason to do this harama because it's not a financial loss. The afshar b'farnasa, you take care of the one in the pit, so it's not a financial loss. Aval hacha, in the case of the fruit on the roof, where it's starting to rain, the lo afshar b'farnasa, what are you going to do? You're going to feed the fruit? There's no way to give it parnasa. In other words, the fruit that are on top of the roof, they're not going to be able to be taken care of. The only way to take care of them is to get them off the roof. So therefore, in a situation where there is no possibility of parnasa, maybe Rabbi Elezer Tak would agree with Rabbi Yeshua, and he would say that you are allowed to, because of Hefsa Beruba, move the fruit on Yontif, but you can't do it on Shabbos. So therefore, you can't tell me that Ha Rabbi Elezer, Ha Rabbi Yeshua. Likewise, alternatively, you could say, Inami, Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yeshua Hasam. The only time that Rabbi Yeshua allowed you to do the harama with the Osav Yez Beno was Elodif Sholi Arume, because it was a very simple harama that you could do. You could say, I'll take this one and then change your mind. But you can't do that with the fruit. Aval Hocha, the lo Ef Sholi Arume, there is no harama possibility by the fruit on the roof, or maybe I'll take it down, maybe I won't. No, there is no such possibility. And therefore, as a result, maybe Rabbi Shur would actually say, in the case of our Mishnah, with the Mashil and the Seperus, no, you wouldn't be allowed to go and do it. So therefore, you can't say that this is Rabbi Lez's opinion, that's Rabbi Shur's opinion. Elom Rapapa, so Rapapa says, okay, so this is the resolution, therefore. Lokasha, Ha Beis Shammai, Ha Beis Hillel. The differences between the two is Beis Shammai versus Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is the author of the first Mishnah in the Perek, the Mashilin, and Beis Shammai is the author of the opinion here that there's no difference between Shabbos and Yontif, and you wouldn't be allowed to go and lower it through the Aruba on Yontif as well, just like you can't do it on Shabbos. Ha Beis Shammai, Ha Beis Hillel. It's not. Where is this machlokis? So this is a Mishnah that we had early in the Masechet as well. Beis Shammai Yomrim, Ein Motziin, Lo Asa Koton, Lo Asa Lulav, Lo Asa Sefer Torah, Lusha Sarabim. You're not allowed to go on Yontif and carry things that aren't necessary for Yontif itself. Beis Shammai had the opinion that you're not just allowed to carry anything you want on Yontif. You can only go carry things that are needed for Yontif. So therefore, you can't take out a baby on Yontif, and you can't take out a Lulav on Yontif. Lo Asa Sefer Torah, Lusha Sarabim, to carry them into Lusha Sarabim. There's no purpose for Yontif to carry them into the Rishu Sarabim. So therefore, you can't do so. Well, Beis Hillel Matir, Beis Hillel said, no, you're allowed to. Oh, so Beis Hillel will allow you to go and be Mashil in the Peiros, and Beis Shammai will say, no, you're not going to be Mashil in the Peiros. Shmuel says, no, Dil Malohi. Again, this Teretz that Rapapa was suggesting, maybe it's not correct. Because Ad Kan Lo Kamri Beis Shammai Hosom, the only reason why Beis Shammai said over there that you're not allowed to go carry the Kotun or the Lulav or the Sefer Torah into the Rishu Sarabim is because Ela Ahotsa, because that's an Issa Daraisa of Hotsa, going from Yeshua Yochin to Yeshua Sarabim. So therefore, Beis Shammai was only Machmer over there. Avola Tiltul, but in our case, which is just pushing the fruit down from the rooftop through the skylight into the room, that's only a din of Muktza, and therefore that's only a din de Rabbanan, Tiltul. So therefore, maybe by Tiltul, they didn't say this. Avola Tiltul lo. So therefore, maybe Beis Shammai would agree that you'd be allowed to be Mashil and Peros, and then who's the author of the Mishnah here? And says you're not allowed to go and have any difference between Shabbos and Yontif. There, even Beis Shammai would say there's a difference between Shabbos and Yontif. So Gemara says no. Atu Tiltul Lav Tzorach Hotzahu says no. Tiltul and Hotzah are all the same root. You can't carry something from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim unless you first move it in the Rishus HaYochid. So therefore, the Tiltul is the start, if you wish, of the Hotzah. So therefore, it's one ruling. We don't make a distinction between, quote, the Tiltul, the Muktza, which is the Rabbanan, and the Hotzah from the Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim, which is a Daraisa, because it's really all one and the same. The only reason there were Gozer Muktza was because of the concern of Hotzah. And therefore, in fact, that is the answer. Beis Hillel is the author of the Mishnah of Mashilin, and Beis Shammai is telling us over here that there's Ein Bein Shabbos the Yontif. Even Mashilin, you're not allowed to do on Yontif, just like you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Now we begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to be dealing with the halachos of Tchum Shabbos. Just a quick reminder, a person is allowed to go from his focal point, from where he set up his shvisa on Bein HaShemoshos, during the Bein HaShemoshos period of time, on the start of Erev Shabbos. So wherever his focal point is, he's allowed to go 2,000 amos in every direction from that focal point. Obviously, if you're in a city, the city counts as Dalet Amos, and your focal point is the entire city. But here we're going to be dealing with where a person has a specific set focal point, and he's allowed to go 2,000 amos in every direction. If he wishes to change his focal point, he can bring two seudos. He can bring the necessary amount of food and place it at an area that is within 2,000 amos from where he physically is at the start of Shabbos, and declare that that will be his focal point. And therefore, his Tchum Shabbos goes from that focal point, 2,000 amos in every direction. Now, he has to be within 2,000 amos of it when he does this, otherwise he won't be able to move at all because he's outside his Tchum. So a person normally follows the Tchum of his city, but if a person wishes to, he wants to go to a shir in a nearby city, so he can set up his focal point at 2,000 amos outside the city, and that will be his focal point. That gets him to 2,000 amos to the next city, and therefore he's able to go to that city on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah tells us that not only do you have a focal point, but all of your property has a focal point. Now, behema b'hakelim kiragli b'alim. Any animals that you own, any vessels, any kalim that you own, any utensils that you own, any food that you own, anything, by the way, that you own has your Tchum Shabbos, Kiragli HaBalim, the owner of that inanimate object or that animal. So the Tchum for that animal or inanimate object goes like the Tchum of the owner. So if you're in your city, regular 2,000 amos outside of the city in every direction, so then that's where your property also has its Tchum. But if you set up a focal point that's different than the Tchum of the city or the place where you are, so then all of your property follows your new focal point. HaBehem of HaKelim, Kiragli HaBalim. Now, if you go and give your animal over to somebody else to take care of it for you. Now, you're doing this on Yontif. So, as Rashi points out a little bit later on, your Shavisa has already been gotten, has already been obtained, it already was niknet to you at the beginning of Shabbos, during the start of the Bein HaShemoshos period of time. So at that point in time, the focal point for your animal is your focal point. So if you give this over now to your son or to a shepherd, levno oleroa, so it still retains your focal point, hare elu kiragli ba'alam, because you only gave it to them on Yontif, and therefore it doesn't change its focal point. So if you have the same focal point as your son or the shepherd, big deal, no difference. However, if they have a different Tchum Shabbos than you, they have a different focal point, so then it follows your focal point and not their focal point. Likewise, Kelim hamiyuchodim li'echod min ha'acham shebabayis. If you have a Yerusha from a parent, the father Nebuch passed away, and the children inherited the items in the inheritance, in the estate. So if something was specifically designated to be one of the children's specific inheritance, oh, this chair, Dad always said you could have that chair. So that chair is your chair, even though you haven't fully divided up the Yerusha yet. So if the Keli was miyuchod li'echod in ha'acham shebabayis, Rashi explains that if it's not miyuchod, then it belongs to all of them collectively. So then, if something was miyuchod to one of them in the inheritance, so then harei elu karagla, then the tchum of that specific item follows his item. Again, if the brothers all have the same tchum, there's no nafkamina. But here we're talking about the brothers have a different tchum. Each of them set up a different focal point. And therefore, the items that were miyuchod for that son, so they follow his focal point and not the different focal points of all the brothers. When something is owned jointly by two people, then it has to follow the focal points of both of them, so you're only allowed to bring that item into an area that both brothers can go to. We'll talk about this momentarily. If something is not designated for one of them, so then it's therefore designated for the estate, all of them jointly own it, so here, the item is only allowed to be brought into the common area that all of them can walk. Again, if they all have the same focal points, then there's no distinction. They all have 2,000 amos for this item from where they are, from where their focal point is in every direction. However, let's say one brother, Reuven, made his focal point 1,000 amos north of where Shimon made his focal point. So you have the two brothers that have two different focal points. One is 1,000 amos north to the other one. So the one that is more north, so he can go 2,000 amos north from that focal point and 2,000 amos south from that focal point. But the brother that is 1,000 amos south from him, he can only go 2,000 amos north from his focal point. So he can't go as far north as the other brother, and the other brother can't go as far south as he can. So in the area that they overlap, and you can see this in the art scroll next to footnote number 22, if you're having trouble picturing this, there's a diagram there. So in this area where they commonly both can go, so that is the only place that this item is allowed to go. Hare Elu Kimokom Shaholchim. It only is allowed to go into the area of the Tchum that both of them overlap. So if they're physically, their focal point is 1,000 Am apart, so then the southern one of the two can only go 2,000 Am north, even though the northern one of the two can go further than that. He can go 2,000 Am from his place, so he's 1,000 Am further north. Nevertheless, they both can only go 1,000 Am north from where the northern person's focal point is, because that's the upper limit where the southern person's focal point could go north. So they have limited how far they can go north, and likewise, the same thing, they would limit how far they can go south. And again, you'll see diagrams of this in the art scroll on the upcoming pages if you're having difficulty understanding this. The Mishnah continues and says, Hashoel kli mechaveru, if you borrow your utensil from your friend. So when did you borrow it? If you borrowed it, may erev yontiv, so then kiragli hashoa. So then it belonged to you, albeit you're borrowing it, but halachically it goes by your tchum, since you owned it at the start of the Bein HaShemashah period of time. So the tchum of this item doesn't go by the owner of the item, it goes by the person who borrowed it. Hashoel, keragle hashoel. However, if you only borrowed something on yontif, so it already had established the shvisa of the original owner, of the owner of it. So biyontif, so if you borrowed it on yontif, keragle hamashel, then it goes by the owner, the one who lent it to you, it goes by his tchum. So again, if the borrower and the lender both have the same tchum, there's no nafkamina. But here we're talking about whether you have a different tchum. So it depends. Whoever has, quote, possession of it, lav nafka ownership, but whoever has the rights to use it at the start of the Bein HaShemashah period of time, it's in their possession, so it goes by that person's tchum. So if the borrower borrowed it before Yom Tov started, before the Bein HaShemashah period of time, so then it goes by the borrower's focal point, his tchum Shabbos. If it still belonged to the person who's lending it, so then it goes by Raglei Hamashu. The Mishnah continues and says, "V'cheinu Isha." Likewise, if a woman borrows Sheshal LaMechaverta, she borrows from a friend Tavlim, some spices or Mayim or water for a dough or Melach or salt LiYisasa for a dough. So she's baking a bread on Yontif. You'll have to bake, but she owns the dough. But the friend at the start of Yontif, that spices or the water or the salt had the tchum of the friend. So again, if they had the same tchum, absolutely no difference. No nafkamina, but here they have different tchumim. So now that she makes this challah, so it has her dough, but it has a friend's spices and water and salt in it, so how far can you take this dough? So the Mishnah tells us, Harei Elu Kirag L'Shteyim. It can only go into the common area that both of them are allowed to go to, because the spices and the water and the salt belong to the woman who lent it to her, her Tchum Shabbos, and the dough belongs to the woman who's baking's Tchum Shabbos, and if they're not the same, so then they're restricted to only going into a place that both of them can go. So this challah that's baked is going to be restricted not to the full Tchum of either of the two women. It's going to be restricted to only the common area that both women can take this challah. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda poter b'mayim. He says, no, we don't look at that from the water point of view. V'nei she'ein b'hem mamish. He says the water doesn't have substance to it. As Rashi points out, ein mikaros. It's not recognizable. Lo b'kderi, not in the pot, not in the dish, lo b'isa, nor in the dough. Hilkach, ein ma'akvos holachason. The water itself is not going to factor in over here. And or if you just borrowed water, so then we go, the tchum for this challah will be only like the person who owned the dough, the woman that baked it. The Gemara is going to say, Rashi tells us, that we're dealing over here with a thick tavshil, she'en hamayim nikarim, where the water is not recognizable. There's no gravy, there's no water still in the pot. And thus it's truly not recognizable. Now, in regards to the salt, Rashi says, lo polik, Rav Yehuda doesn't disagree with the Tanakama. He agrees that with the salt, it goes like both of them. Why? Because the Gemara is going to say, in melach, we're talking here about a certain type of melach. Melach is trukness. She gasa the rekaris. It's not absorbed into it. It's like you have the salt on a pretzel, for example, those salty big pretzels. So you can see the salt. It's not absorbed into it like a dough where there's salt added, but it's absorbed into the dough and you can't recognize it. So that's what the Gemara is going to explain, why Rehuda doesn't argue with the salt, which is also seemingly absorbed into the dough. Gemara starts off and says, Masnis and our Mishnah, we turn to Lamazayin Amid Beis, cannot be like the opinion, the low Karebi Dosa, because Rabbi Dosa said it the following in the Brisa, the Tanya. The Brisa says, either Rabbi Dosa Omer or others say, V'amilu Abashol Omer, Halokeach Behema Mechaver, Erev Yontif. If you go and buy an animal from somebody on Erev Yontif, so Afa Pishalo Misarilo Ela B'Yom Tov, even though you only actually acquired it in your possession on Yontif, but you purchased it before Yontif, Harehi Kiragle Halokeach. It already belongs to the Tchum of the person who purchased it, even though it wasn't yet in your possession. because you had purchased it. So it's in your ownership, and therefore the person who originally owned it gave it over to you, and it's considered in your possession, even though you physically didn't pick it up at the start of Yontif. If you give over your animal to the shepherd to take care of, so Ava Pishalo Masorlo Elabi Yontif, here he says, even though you didn't give it to him until Yontif, Harehi Karagle Haroa. It belongs to the shepherd. Now, what do you see clearly over here? That it was only given to the shepherd on Yontif, and yet Rabbi Dosa, or alternatively Abba Shaul, said that it goes by the Tchum of the shepherd. Now, he only got it on Yontif. How can that be? According to our Mishnah says that it depends who owns it at the start of Yontif. And here, clearly, the owner had only given it to the shepherd on Yontif. So, obviously, therefore, the Gemara says, our Mishnah cannot be like the opinion of Rabbi Dosa or Abba Shaul. Where it says, no, not necessarily so. I feel the Rabbi Dosa. It could be like the opinion of Rabbi Dosa or Abba Shaul, whoever was the said this memra, because v'lo kasha, there's no contradiction over here between our Mishnah that says you go by the person who owned it during the Ben Hashmashos period of time, and Rabbi Dosa's statement that seems to say, even though we gave it to him in the daytime and during the Ben Hashmashos period of time, it wasn't yet in his possession, it still goes like the shepherd's possession. So why is there no contradiction? V'lo kasha, it depends how many shepherds there are in town. Kan baroa echad, Rabbi Dosa is talking about a one shepherd town. So even though you didn't physically give it to him, it's clear that you're going to give it to him. There was no alternative. You were definitely going to give it to the shepherd. So during the Bein HaShmashos period of time, it's as if it's Mosser to him already, because there's no other shepherd in town. As opposed to our Mishnah, which is talking about Kan Bishnei Rom, there were two possibilities to give it to, and it wasn't clear which one you gave it to. So therefore, it stays in your possession. So there is no stira between Rabbi Dosa and our Mishnah. They're talking about two different cases. Our Mishnah is talking about with the multiple shepherds involved, potentially. So you can't say it's automatically Mosser to one shepherd. It could be Mosser to the other shepherd. Therefore, it stays in the Shvisa of the owner. As opposed to Rabbi Dosa's statement, he's talking about where there's only one shepherd in town, and you always give him your animals to pasture on Shabbos. And therefore, it is as if you gave it to him before Yontif started. And I'll show you that this is right. The Gemara says, Daikanami. Look carefully at the language of a Mishnah. What does it say? Diktani livno o leroeh. Ah, shmamina. Our Mishnah said that he gave it over to either his son or to the shepherd, implying that there were two possibilities. And that's why our Mishnah said that it goes by the shvisa of the owner and not by the shvisa of the son or the shepherd, because you don't know which one he was giving it to. Ah, shmamina. That's a very good raya. So there's no stira between Rabbi Dosa and our Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, "Amar Abba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan." Rabba Bar Bar Chana says, "Amar Rav Yochanan." How do we paskin halacha like Rabbi Dosa? We paskin like Rabbi Dosa. He says, "Well, me Amar Rav Yochanan hachi." How could Rav Yochanan argue with the statement that Rav Yochanan seems to make elsewhere? Amar Rav Yochanan halacha kistam Mishnah. Rav Yochanan is famous throughout Shas for giving us the general rule that we seem to always paskin like a stam Mishnah, and our Mishnah is a stam Mishnah. Tzan habehema vakelim karagli abalim. So our Mishnah is a stam Mishnah. We should paskin like that. So how can you tell me that we pass it like Rabbi Dosa? Doesn't Rabbi Dosa disagree with our Mishnah? So Gemara says, no, we just told you that he doesn't disagree with our Mishnah. V'labu kimna, haven't we already said, kambiro echad, kambishnei rom? So Rabbi Dosa doesn't disagree with our Mishnah, so therefore we're not upsetting the general rule of Rabbi Yochanan that we pass it like a stam Mishnah, because even Rabbi Dosa passes like our stam Mishnah. Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, is telling us that when there are two shepherds, we in fact paskin like our Mishnah. But when there's only one shepherd, which wouldn't be necessarily clear from our Mishnah, we paskin like Rabbi Dosa, and our Mishnah doesn't disagree with that, but that's the chiddush of Rabba Bar Chana Amar Yochanan. Gemara continues, says, Tana Rabban, we learn the following in the Braisa. Shnayim sheshalu choluk echad b'shutvas. If two people go and borrow a certain type of baget, for example, a choluk is a certain type of cloak, and they borrow it b'shutvas. Now, why do they need it? It's a fancy affair that they're each going to, and they're borrowing a fancy jacket. So shnayim sheshalu choluk echad b'shutvas. They're both borrowing it. Reuven and Shimon borrowed this jacket from Levi, and Reuven zeh leilech bo shachus lebeis hamedrash. Reuven wants to wear it to shul in the morning. And Vizeli Khanis Bo Arvis Labesa Mishnah. And Shimon wants to wear it at nighttime to go to a base Mishnah. I'm not sure why they have Shachris before they have Arvis. Arvis seems to be the night of the Yontif, and Shachris seems to be the morning of the Yontif. I would have put it the other way around. No, I'm not sure why. It's Akasha. In any event, Reuven wants to wear it to one place, and Shimon wants to wear it to the other place. Now, Ze Erev Olav Litzafum, Ze Erev Olav Adorum. They don't have the same focal point. Reuven and Shimon are at different focal points. One is more north of the other, one is more south of the other. So, again, depends how far they are. That's what the Braisa tells us. Ze Erev Olav Litzafum, let's say Reuven made the more northern focal point. His Erev Tchumen was a certain distance north more than Shimon's. So Mahalech Litzofon Kiragli Misha Erev Olav Adorim. He can only go as far north as the more southern person, Shimon, is able to go. Like my example from before, which Rashi gives, let's say there's 1,000 amma difference in the focal point. Reuven's focal point is 1,000 amma north more than Shimon's. So therefore, Shimon can only go 2,000 amas north. So even though Reuven can go an additional 1,000 amma north because he's already 1,000 amma more north, he's restricted because of Shimon's inability to go beyond 2,000 amas from his more southern place where he has his focal point. And the same thing works in the other direction. Shimon has the more southern focal point, so Mahalik Ladorum, Karagli Misha Erev Olav Tzofen, he's restricted the 1,000 amas that he was unable to let Reuven go north, so likewise Reuven restricts him from going the extra 1,000 that Shimon could go south, because that's the limit to how far Reuven can go south. In other words, the east restrict each other, they can only bring this cloak into the common area that both of them have their Tchum Shabbos. And in fact, the mitzo es Tchum, not in my example of 1,000 amas, but they made it 2,000 amas apart. So Reuven is 2,000 north of Shimon, who's 2,000 south of him. So then you can't move the cloak 1 inch. Because you can't go north at all because Shimon is restricting that. And you can't go south at all because Reuven is restricting that. So therefore, lo yazizeno mimakoma. It's unable to move because there is no common area. There is no overlap between their two Tchum Shabbos. And therefore, in this situation, you'll be stuck. Tomorrow continues and says it. They said in the base measures the following din: Shnayim shelachu chavis ubehema b'shutvis. If two people took a chavis, is a barrel, let's say it was filled with wine, and a behema, an animal, to go shefted on yontif. So they are in partners. There is shutvin in these two objects. So Rav Amar chavis muteres ubehema surah. Rav tells us that the chavis is allowed to be moved to the tum of the one of the two partners that eventually takes it. So if, for example, they purchased it together, and this person takes out half of the wine from the barrel, this person takes half the wine from the barrel, each of them can move it totally, their share of the wine, they can move totally within their tchum. They're not restricted by the common tchum that they have between them. As opposed to the behema, that they're restricted by the common tchum between them. The more we'll ask in a moment, this seems to be illogical. Either you hold that you can for both of them, or you hold that you can't for both of them. The more we'll explain this in a moment. Ushmul Amar, he says, he says both of them are restricted to the common area because during the Banish Mashas period of time there was shutfim in it and it was owned by both of them, and therefore both the Chavis and the Mehema are only allowed to go into the area where their tums overlap. Now, Murr questions Rav. Shmuel is straightforward. He says that for both of them there is a single tum Shabbos that encompasses the area that both of them are allowed to go in but can't go into an area that only one of them can go and the other one can't go, because then for the other person would be outside their tum. So what did Rav think? Mike Sover Rav. Where it says, Ik Sover Yesh Brera. If you're saying that there's a retroactive determination, we've discussed Brera many times, that means after the fact you can say this is what the original set of facts or circumstances were. So if you're telling me there was Shutvim at the beginning of Yontif, however, it really was that half of the barrel of wine would belong to Reuven and half would belong to Shimon, and half of the animal would belong to Reuven and half the animal would belong to Shimon, and now on Yontif we can determine which half belonged to each of them, so then retroactively you go back and say that's the way it was broken up. They really weren't Shutvim. Reuven owned this half, and Shimon owned that half, and therefore each of them could take it to their entire tchum. Well, if you're saying that for the Chavis, so Ik Sava Yesh Breira, so then Afilu Behema Tishtvi, then why do we not apply the same principle of Breira to the animal? Why are you only allowing us to split the wine? Because we say retroactively, this was his half and that was this half. Why don't we say the same thing by the animal? Retroactively, he owned the front right leg and the other one owned the left front leg. So why don't we say that as well? You can tell me, Ik Sava Yesh Breira, Rav doesn't hold from the principle of Breira, and the bow should be no good. Afilu Chavis Nami Asura. Why did he make a distinction between the Chavis and the Behema? So Gemara says, La'olam kasava yesh breira. In fact, Rav does hold from breira, therefore the chavis is not a question. Retroactively, it was determined that this half belonged to Reuven, this half belonged to Shimon from the very start, and therefore each of them can move it to their tchum without taking into consideration the overlapping or the other person's restricting their tchum. But by the behema, it's different. V'shanya behema, t'koyanke t'chumim mehadadi. Because the animals are, even at the beginning, benefiting directly one from the other. The wine, my wine, doesn't benefit from your wine. Your wine doesn't benefit from my wine. That's why the wine, we can say retroactively, is totally unrelated, and each one 100% owns their wine. That's why Breira shows you that this was my tchum at the beginning of Shabbos, and that was your tchum at the beginning of Shabbos. But the animal, well, yes, I have the right front foreleg, and you have the left front foreleg, but my right front foreleg is benefiting from your left front foreleg. And therefore, I'm still attached to yours, even though we have this principle of Breira. And that's why Rav would say that we don't split them apart. Now, Tosus doesn't like this. Tosus says food is allowed to be distributed from one person to another, even if they don't own it. So why can't you say that, well, I'm using the food from your left front foreleg in my front foreleg, but I'm allowed to. So therefore, Tosus brings down the Rabbeinu Shmuel, and he says that this is really an Isser of Muktza here. Shabahema Godla Umosifa Shamnunis B'Yontif. We're talking about the additional growth that the Behema has on Yontif. Well, it's a relatively small amount, obviously. That is the point that Rav is making, and therefore, there's a difference between the Behema and the barrel. Now, Rashi does have many terutzim. The Mefarshim bring down terutzim to Tosus' question on Rashi, and we'll continue just learning Rashi's pshat simply over here to say that there's a difference between the behema and the chavis, because yanke tuchumim me'adadi, because that part of the animal, left front foreleg of Shimon, is sustaining the right front foreleg of Reuven, and therefore they're not capable of separating that out, and therefore their tuchumim have to overlap for the behema, but not for the chavis. But the Gemara questions Rav. Amrile Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, others have the gears over here, Rav Ashi. There was a earlier Rav Ashi. This isn't the Ravina and Rav Ashi at the end. So according to the gears, this is Rav Ashi. So this was a earlier Amora called Rav Ashi. In any event, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were great Talmidim of Rav. And they asked their Rebbe, Rav, Lisa Muktzu lo Choshishu, Lisa Tchum Choshishu. I don't understand, Rebbe. Why are you only concerned over here about the issue of Tchumim? There's a much bigger problem over here, that this is Muktzu. As Rashi brings down, this can be seen on the second wide lines in Rashi, Lisa Muktzul Choshishu, Anan Sahade, the Kochad Minayu, Akse Daite Michalku Shechavero. We are definitely able to state for certain here that each person is totally excluding himself from the portion of his friend because he's not expecting to get it. And therefore, it is considered Muktza. And therefore, when that left front foreleg that belongs to Shimon is supporting the right front foreleg that belongs to Reuven, in that situation, he's getting benefit from Muktza. That's a bigger problem. What are you worried about Tchumim? Why aren't you worried about Muktza? So that's the question that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi asked to Rav. And the Gemara says, Shosik Rav. Rav didn't answer them. Now, whenever you have in the Gemara, Shosik Rav, or one of the persons who being a question doesn't respond, there's two possibilities. One is he has no answer. And he says, Taka, you're right. And that's the way some of the Rishonim understand the Shosik Rav. And others say, no, he didn't bother, he didn't deign to give them an answer, he didn't like their question, he didn't think their question on their level, the great Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, that they should ask him such a poor question, because he felt the answer was so obvious. The Koyonke, Tchumim Mehadadeh, is such an obvious answer, and it's such a real answer, it has nothing to do with the Muktzah concern that they were identifying, and therefore he didn't bother to answer them. So Gemara asks, no, my Havilah, how do we paskin in this situation? So Rav Hoshaya Amar Yesh Breira, and Rav Yochanan Amar Ain Breira. So we have a big machlokas over here between Rav Hoshaya and Rav Yochanan. Rav Hoshaya holds the position that there is this retroactive determination, and therefore the chavis can be used. Each person can take it to within their own tchum. And Rav Yochanan says, no, Ain Breira, that you can't take the chavis into each of their own area. They each have to go only in an area that is common to both of them where they overlap their tchum. Rashi adds over here, and he says that this Yesh Breira is not only for the Chavis, or Behema. He says as well that Rav Hoshaya paskins that even the Behema, because of the principle of Breira, would be permitted as well. He doesn't hold from this Yonke Tchumim Mehadadi. He doesn't hold from that. And therefore, Rashi understands that Rav Hoshaya says Yesh Breira, it's going not only on the barrel, it's also going on the Behema. If you explain it this way, and that it's not only going on the Chavis, so then that explains that when he said Shosik Rav, Rav really didn't have an answer. There shouldn't be a distinction between the Chavis and the Behema, and in fact, that's the way Rav Hoshaya paskins, that there is no distinction between the Chavis and the Behema. Whereas Rav Yochanan says, not only the Behema, but even the Chavis doesn't have Breira. So more questions, just solve Rav Hoshaya Yesh Breira. You just told me that Rav Hoshaya holds on the principle of Breira, but I'll show you that that's not true, because we have a Mishnah in Ahalos that seems to suggest that Rav Hoshaya does not hold from Breira. What is that Mishnah? Vatnan, it says, Hameis Babayis, we've had this Mishnah previously. If you have Nebuch, a dead person in the house, the Lop Sochem Harbi, and the many different exits that you could take the mace out. So we say, in this situation, since it's not clear which exit the mace will go out, so every room that the mace could potentially go through, so that room, Kulam Tmeinim, any utensils that are in that room, any one of the many or multiple exit ways So therefore, all the kelim in all of the different rooms would become tamei, kulon tamei, because it's not clear which way you're going to go out. However, niftach echod mehem, you're only going to use one of the exit ways, so that door or window is opened up. A window would have to be a minimum size in order for it to be considered an exit way. So if you have the exit ways that are clearly blocked and then one exit way is open, so therefore, sof tumalotzes goes out that door, hu tamei, so only that exit way is going to be metamei everything in its path, v'kulon tahorin. And all the other exit ways which are blocked are not going to be considered tamei. Now, that's straightforward. That's not a shaila. That's not a braver situation. It's talking about they're either closed or they're open. But now here's the raya that's going to seem to suggest that Rav Hoshaya does not hold braver. If you just intended to go out this way, you could have gone left, you could have gone right. You say, I'm intending to go take the mace out through the left exit way. Or it doesn't have to be a doorway, it could be a window. Sheyesh bar labar has to have that minimum shear of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, as I mentioned, in order to be considered an exit way. That's the minimal shear for the ability to be able to take a body out. Again, 4 tefachim is somewhere between 3.5 to 4 inches for a tefach. Let's make a nice round number 4, so this would be 16 inches. So you could fit the body through an opening that is a square of 16 by 16 inches. So that situation, where you just thought to take it out through one way, Matzelis al psochem kulon, it would go and prevent all the other exit ways from becoming tamei. That is the opinion of the Tanakama. Beishami omrim, however, this only applies, Beishami says, v'uch shechi shev olav ad shelo yomos hameis. This is only if you have this thought in mind before the mace died. Nebuch, this person's a ghost, he's going to die. We're going to take him out through this left doorway, and the other passageways, we're not going to take him out. So therefore, in this situation, only the left passageway that you're going to take him out eventually becomes tamei, and all the kalim in that route will become tamei, whereas the kalim in other rooms and other routes will not become tamei. Beisil disagrees. Beisil omrim, af mishayomos. This works even after Nebuch, the person died, and then you had the machshava af mishayomos hameis. Even though the person died and you didn't have the machshava until after he died, it still works. And that was the Mishnah in Olos, the Itmar Allah. And about that Mishnah, Amar Voshaya litaris hapsochem mikanu labah. When Hillel said af mishayomos hameis, it doesn't mean retroactively. It means from this point and on. Any new kelim that are brought in there, if they're in the way that's the exit way, that you're planning to take him out, they will come tamei. But if it's not, any new kelim, but it's only new kelim, it's not retroactive. It's only mikanu laba. Mikanu laba in lemafreya lo. So clearly, this understanding of this Mishnah in Olos by Rav Hoshaya clearly says he doesn't hold from Breira. So where says, Taki, you're right. So therefore, epoch, switch around the first statement that we made, my havi Allah, Rav Hoshaya said, yesh brera, Rav Yochanan says, ain brera, switch it around. And say, Rav Hoshaya mar ain brera, to Rav Yochanan mar yesh brera. Switch around the original statements that we made to the point that Rav Hoshaya is now consistent with his understanding of the Mishnah Olos. He doesn't hold from brera, ain brera. And it was Rav Yochanan who's the one that said that there's brera. More question this, Umi Yisrael Rav Yochanan brera. You're telling me now that Rav Yochanan holds from brera. But I'll show you, Bar Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan, ha'achin shechoku l'kuchosein. When two brothers inherit an estate, so Rav Asi, in the name of Rav Yochanan, says this is the way you look at it. The two brothers inherited an estate, so we don't say retroactively that this property belonged to Reuven and this property belonged to Shimon. We say that they both hold them in shutfis. Each of them owns 50% of each property. And Reuven is considered to have sold his 50% share to Shimon, and Shimon likewise is considered to have sold his 50% share in the other property to Reuven. So each of them walks away with one house, but it was originally co-owned 50% by each of them, and they had to sell their share to the other brother. So in this situation, they're considered like lekuchos, they're considered like purchases. The nafkamina is umachzir and zelazeh biyovel. If you don't hold that there was retroactive determination, if you don't hold from Breira, so then they're considered lekuchos. Reuven purchased 50% of this field from Shimon. Shimon purchased 50% of the field from Reuven. That means that they're regular purchases. And at the Yovel, everything goes back, it's Steachuza, goes back to the original owners. So then they have to redivide it up again after the Yovel, because it recombined at the Yovel. As opposed to if you held retroactive determination, if you held Breira, so then at the time Nebuchadnezzar the father's death, so Reuven, while he was given 50% of each house, but since they ultimately exchanged their each of them 50%, so it is considered that Reuven inherited just 100% of house A, and Shimon inherited just 100% of house B. And therefore, at the Ovo, they wouldn't have to go and return it to each other because they never actually were considered lekuchos, purchases.
So what do you clearly see? Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan said that they are considered lekuchos. We don't consider retroactive determination. So how can you tell me that Rav Yochanan holds from Breira? Here you clearly see that Rav Yochanan doesn't hold from Breira. Are you going to tell me, v'chitema kiles leila Rav Yochanan Breira b'daraisa, avo b'darabon in Islay? You're going to tell me there's a difference between a din daraisa. Oh, this inheritance is a din daraisa. Oh, he doesn't hold from Breira and a din daraisa. But by a din darabonon, he does hold a din of Breira, but that's not true. Ubi the Rabbanan, mi Islay. How can you tell me that he holds Breira by a din darabonon? Because after all, we learned in the following braisa of Otani Ayo, I was at Shembo Chochum, Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein od mas na'al shnei dvarim ki echad. When a person wants to make a tchum, so he can't do two simultaneous conditional statements, that's not allowed. But you would be allowed to do this in the following way. Ela, im ba'al chochum l'mizrach, eruv l'mizrach. If ba'al chochum l'marav, eruv l'marav. That you're allowed to do. Person doesn't know which way the Talmud Chacham is coming. So Ayo explains Rav Yehuda saying as follows. I don't know which way the Talmud Chacham is coming to which town. It could come to the town to the right of my town or the town to the left of my town. I want to go hear the shir of the Talmud Chacham on Shabbos. So therefore, I'm making an Erev. If the Talmud Chacham comes to the city to the east of my town, so then I want my Erev to be 1,000 to the east outside my town, and therefore I can get to the other town. If the Talmud Chacham comes to the city to the west of my town, I want my Erev, my focal point, to be 1,000 amas to the west of my town, and therefore I'll be able to reach the other town. However, but you're not allowed to say that I want the Erev to be both places. In other words, let's say there are two different Talmidei Chachamim, and one's coming to the east and one's coming to the west, then I want to be able to go to whichever one I decide to go to on Shabbos morning. I want to hear the titles, and I want to go to that one, or I want to this one. That you can't do. Why not? Because that would be Bereira. Now, Tchumim is a din d'rabbanan, according to almost all the poskim, with the exception of Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, so we don't apply Breira even by Din the Rabbanon. So how can you tell me, oh, maybe Rav Yochanan says a Din Breira by the Rabbanon? Clearly you see from here that he doesn't apply a Din of Breira by the Rabbanon. We turn to Lama Chesamud Aleph. But there's an obvious problem over here, and the question that the Gemara asks over there on that statement of Ayo, and his understanding is, Vavinim, but we asked over there, Maishno Lekan Lekan Delo, Dein Breira. The reason why we said you can't have, in case there's a Talmud Chacham coming to the east, a Talmud coming to the west, I'll decide on Shabbos morning which one I want to go to. That you can't do because there's no Breira. So then how were you allowed to do it in the first case? Mizrach u'Ma'ariv, Nami in Breira. So we said, if the Talmud Chacham comes to the eastern city, I want it to be the focal point 1,000 amas to the east of the city. If the Talmud Chacham comes to the west of the city, I want my focal point to be 1,000 amas to the west of the city. That's also Breira. How come we allowed that? Why was that allowed? Mizrach u'Ma'ariv, Nami in Breira. The Omer of Yochanan, Rav Yochanan said over there, Ukvar Bar Chacham, because there wasn't a question of Breira. I just don't know the facts. So this is a Gilui Milsa. This is a revelation of what the facts are. The Talmud Chacham showed up in whichever town he showed up in at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, before Shabbos. I don't know which town he shows up yet, because the news hasn't come to me yet. I'll only find out Shabbos morning. So I say, in case the Talmud Chacham is in town A, to the right of me, to the Mizrach, I want my focal point to be to the right of me. If the Talmud Chacham, in fact, is already there in the town to the left of me, then I want my focal point to be to the left of me. That's not a question of Breira, that's a Gilui Milsa. Wherever the Talmud Chacham is, that's where my Tchum is. I just don't know it right now, but that's where my Tchum is. That's not a question of Breira. That's why in the first case, Talmud Chacham coming to the western city or to the eastern city, you can do that. But to say there's a Talmud Chacham in each city, and I'll decide Shabbos morning which one I want, that would be retroactive determination, that would be Breira, and Rav Yochanan doesn't allow it. No, what do we see from over here? Alma, less later of Yochanan Breira, even by the Rabbanan. So, how can we tell us that we switched around our original statement to say that Rabbi Yochanan holds from Breira, when his original statement was that he does hold from Breira, which is correct? So, what says Yataka right? Don't flip it around. Rav Hoshaya actually holds Yesh Breira, and Rav Yochanan, to be consistent, holds Ein Breira. How do we have Rav Hoshaya then seems to be contradicting himself? He paskin that you're allowed to have the Chavis and the Behema split up because we hold retroactively as Breira. But in the Mishnah of all those, Rav Hoshaya's understanding was that we don't hold retroactive determination. We don't hold Breira. And we can't say that it's retroactive. It's only Mikanu Lahaba that Beis Hillel says that when you have a Machshava, that you're going to go out this way so the other doors don't become Tomei and only this doorway, this exit way becomes Tomei. So how are you going to answer that, Stira? Oh, so the same teretz that we tried to get to Rav Yochanan, now we're giving to Rav Hoshaya. The Rav Hoshaya holds that there's a Breira, there is only Breira by the Rabbanan. So therefore, in the case of the Chavis and the Behema, which is a Din the Rabbanan of Tum, so therefore there's Breira. But in the case of Tumas Ohel, which is in the Raisa, there he holds there is no Breira. How do we paskin? Dorish Marzutra or Zutra paskins halakha Yerushaya. We paskin like this opinion of Roshaya, that by Daraisa there is no Breira, by the Rabbanans there is Breira. And this is the commonly accepted understanding of where Breira works and where Breira doesn't work. Finally, we just conclude to get to the two dots. Omer Shmuel, Shmuel said, Shor Shel Patam. If you have an ox that belongs to a person that fattens up the animals, and he sells them, his purpose is to sell them. And Yontif comes, so Harehu Karagli Kol Adam. Whoever comes to buy this ox, the understanding in the mind of the Mefatim, the one who's fattening it up, is that I'm being mafkirit, essentially. It doesn't belong to me, the Banish Marshal. I don't know who's going to come and buy it. Whoever comes to buy it, he's essentially getting it from Hefker, and therefore it will follow the tum of the person that I'm selling it to. And that's by a Shor Shel Patam, because he's a well-known salesperson of Bahamas, and people come even from other towns. So therefore, if somebody comes within the tum from another town, it will follow that person's tum and not the Patam's tum. However, Shor Shel Roah, a Roah sometimes sells Bahamas as well, but he doesn't have a regional reputation. He only sells to the people in that town. So Shor Shel Roah, Hariyu Karagli Osu Ir. So it will belong to the tum of the people of the city. So if somebody in the city has individual different tum, so it goes by that person's tum. Every person in the city, the one that purchases it, it goes by his tum. Because this Roah was giving it over to somebody in the city. But somebody from a different city, so then it wouldn't apply to him. That's the difference between the Patum and the Roah. That's Rashi's understanding. With this, we conclude today's share.